Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assemble!
So Andrew Mason at DenverFan.com writes about JT O'Sullivan. He was a teammate of Nathaniel Hackett's at UC Davis. O'Sullivan went on to kick around the NFL for a decade as a German backup. Now he runs the QB school, and he does breakdowns of offense and quarterback play. So he broke down the Broncos offense. Here are some of the things he said. Quote, the quarterback play itself, it is shockingly sloppy. The decision-making is bizarre. And there are just some plays that are, you can't do anything other than say, what the bleep is going on? So I don't pretend to have the answers. He called the Broncos offense, quote, a disaster cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did not put it all on Russ, by the way. He said the whole cocktail is right. A disaster.
Oh, yeah. It is like... it's like, you know how they make drinks at a bar on top of the mat, and there's like a little overspill on the mat. You know what I'm saying? Like you're mixing up cocktails and you put them on top of the mat, and you're being fancy and stuff. And there's always going to be some dribble in that mat, and some at the end of the night, that mat's going to be full of a bunch of different stuff. That's like pouring that mat into a glass. Aww. And saying, "I'll take that." Oh, you've never done that?
Well, no, you're actually bringing to memory the cup that was always put at the bottom of a keg so that it would catch all the keg refuse.
Right.
And, yes, I have seen people on a bet, on a dare, drink that.
Sure.
Ugh.
Party on, dudes!
Now, I did plenty of things in college I wasn't proud of, but I never, ever did that.
Oh, the keg thing or the mat?
Either.
Oh, I did the mat all the time.
You did the mat?
Oh, yeah. Walking what? Home, swinging into a bar that was closing down, go, hey, man, you pour that mat in a cup?
Come on, man. No way.
Oh, sure. Dude, I eat food off the trays that are left over outside. Yeah,
absolutely. But at least they're wrapped up. You know, a pat of butter wrapped up. The bread is wrapped
the
up.
Bread and, is expo- no, the bread's not wrapped up. It's just...
Oh, it's exposed bread?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
They don't wrap up your bread when they bring it to you on a room service.
Sometimes right? They do. They'll put the bread in the pat of butter.
Hotels do you stay?
Only the best.
You're not at the Thompson. I'll tell you that right there.
Yeah, in the Viagra Triangle.
In the Viagra Triangle. You're not at the Thompson, the Viagra Triangle.
Oh, so good. So at DenverFan.com, we have Will Peterson write about how apparently the Broncos wanted Aaron Rodgers all along. Boy, I'm hoping this high-ranking NFL executive is the same one who said that once you get Patrick Mahomes to get off his first read, he isn't very good.
Right.
I hope it's the same guy, because a high-ranking NFC executive told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler...
Uh-huh.
Multiple league execs are still convinced that Rodgers was the Broncos' first choice. This high-ranking exec went on to say, Aaron Rodgers, I could understand giving up that sort of package for, but not Russell. Denver didn't have any familiarity with the player or his fit in the system, and he's declining as an aging, smaller quarterback.
Let's run.
Why can't you have a plan A and a plan B? Why can't Aaron Rodgers have been plan A, but you'd still done and put in your homework on Russell Wilson and felt that Russell Wilson would be, if not one, would be 1A.
Right. If you're drafting,
I don't know if I like the idea of settling. You've got a chance. Here's my question. You've got a chance to know George Payton. Does George Payton strike you as the type of guy who would make this kind of significant move, to give up the draft capital, end up signing the contract for somebody that he felt he was settling for?
No. Let me just say this. Okay, so if you're drafting at, let's say you're drafting at 15 overall. You got 15 overall. You got the 15th pick in the draft. Do you just study one guy? Or do you study multiple guys? At multiple positions.
Multiple.
Because you don't know what's going to happen to the first 14 picks, right? That would be like just saying, no, we're settled on this guy. Oh, he's gone? Oh, shoot. All right, who's the best guy on the board? You know, or in D-Max case, just give me the next quarterback. But no, he does his due diligence. So there was, hey man, this is Aaron Rodgers is the guy we want, the guy we're going after, the guy I know the best, the guy that I've competed against, you know, as a Minnesota Viking executive for 14 years. This is the guy we want. This is the coach, you know, that has a great rapport with Aaron Rodgers. But if that doesn't work, if that ends up backfiring like it did draft night, again, let's do our due diligence and see if there's somebody else we can go out there, because we know one thing, we need a veteran quarterback.
Okay, but you understand why I have to ask the question and why it doesn't look good for George Payton, because what do we all say about any general manager? You are ultimately defined by how you figure out your team's quarterback position. However you do it, however you choose to do it, your success or failure is determined by that quarterback strategy. And it would be real easy for people to look at and say, he couldn't get Aaron Rodgers. He was so into Aaron Rodgers, he even hired Nathaniel Hackett as incentive.
Sure.
To bring Aaron Rodgers here. And then when he didn't get Aaron Rodgers, he panicked.
Well, Mike, let me just say this. And this is just true. You may not like it, but it's just true. Perception becomes reality. And whether that's true or not, that's the perception. And the perception will become the reality, is that that's exactly what happened. And until Russell Wilson either plays really well or you rectify the situation or you change the coach and you play, whatever the case may be, because that same executive, you know, like he's a aging, smaller quarterback, like diminishing skill set. It has very little to do with diminishing skill set as much as it does to do, you know, as much as it has to do with, you know, just not being on the same page, not reading out the progressions correctly, not being disciplined in footwork, having a team around you that's not executing at any level, be it receiver, offensive line, tight end, running back. Like that's more to do with it than, oh, he's a shorter quarterback that's 34 now, and like all of a sudden, so from last year to this year, all of a sudden he just forgot how to play. Like there's got to be more to it than that.
I think as you look at the to-do list, by the way, for Russ, and since he's not going anywhere, it's all about how do you salvage Russ, is not only do you need a new head coach, not only do you need a different kind of play caller, one that really does embody a lot of what he did in Seattle and did well, I think he's also at the stage of his career, and I was listening very closely to that conversation you had with Aaron Rodgers yesterday about Rodgers talking about you know, the fundamentals and how you can fall into bad habits and you can lose track of mechanics and all of a sudden things can get sloppy and it can have just your footwork 6 inches can change everything. You know, Tom Brady over the course of the last decade, he has a personal throwing coach, Tom House, a former big league pitcher who works with a lot of quarterbacks. He constantly is meeting with this guy during the off season at least once just to go over all of his mechanics and to make sure that they stay sharp. And I think we're at a point now where the Broncos are well within their rights with the investment that they are making and will soon to make even more in with Russ to go to him and say, look, the rules are changed now. Whatever you were promised before, that was the old regime.
Right.
There's a new sheriff in town. This is the way we're going to do it. This is the kind of coach you're going to have. This is the kind of play caller you're going to have. This is the kind of offense you're going to run. And you know what else? You're going to work with somebody who can tighten up and get you back and maybe even get you to a level mechanically from a footwork standpoint, a throwing standpoint, all that stuff that maybe he's never had in his career that he needs now.
I don't know. I mean, he has that Jake Heaps guy. I'm sure that Russell has actually, last time I checked, there's the only quarterback that's not doing a lot of Tom House stuff or hasn't been with Tom House is Aaron Rodgers. Most everybody either is working directly with Tom or one of his.
Do you know if Russ is?
I don't. You know what? I don't know. I would imagine that he has in the past. I don't know if he still is. But Tom, like, I've known Tom for years, and my son has worked with Tom for a long, long time. And Tom is, he's a great guy, and he is a guru when it comes to, your ability to throw. Like you talked about, I mean, he's almost gone exclusively to football now as a former baseball guy. But pretty much all the stuff that guys do with the hip action and the arm, arm up and down as they walk down the side, that's all Tom House stuff. And it's really about generating more velocity. And it's what Drew Brees did. So Drew Brees worked exclusively, he worked a ton with him. But it's all about ground force mechanics creating ground force that becomes rotational force that becomes, velocity in the football and the way it's released. And so I'm sure that he's worked with him in the past. I don't know that he still is doing
that. But you're talking about somebody right now who is not only in a new environment, new situation, new players, but is trying to evolve or change the way he plays quarterback.
Right.
I think there's enough newness there, enough change that maybe going back and having a refresher course on the proper mechanics and the proper footwork and techniques might not be the worst thing.
But I don't see it's not like Peyton Manning, who you could see, the ball just fluttering out of his hand late in his career, because of the neck thing. It wasn't Russ can still throw it. My thing is more about, I think, more about your footwork timing up with the route concepts. Like, my thing is more football issues than it is mechanics issues. Do you know what I mean? The mechanics of football as opposed to the mechanics of throwing, if that makes sense.
Real quick, Andrew Mason's going to join us in just a second. I got to pass this along because, speaking of Drew Brees, this story is breaking over the last half hour or so. A video has come out that Brees was in Venezuela filming a commercial for a betting site in what looked like was a thunderstorm. And there are reports he was struck by lightning.
Whoa.
So he was doing a commercial for PointsBet Sportsbook.
Uh-huh.
And they put out a tweet recently in the last hour that says, quote, "We are aware of the media coverage regarding PointsBet brand ambassador Drew Brees. We are in communication with Brees' team and will continue to monitor events throughout the coming hours. At this stage, we will not be making any further comment."
Ooh.
So
that we don't know if he's all right, if he's...
Right. So we'll continue to follow that. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mace, good morning.
Morning. How you fellas doing?
Mace, we're doing good. You know, one of the things I always love about talking to you, because I always find some things out, is you always do some numbers things, and it always blows me away. So I don't know if you've done anything numbers-wise, but are there any shocking new numbers that you could throw? Not that all the numbers that you've been thrown out aren't shocking, but any new things that are just mind-blowing here in regards to the inadequacies of the Broncos' offense?
I mean, there's nothing new. It's just they're in basically the same spots that, they've been. I believe, I mean, Field Yates kind of had the one from last Sunday about how this, you know, and then you guys may have discussed it, how they, you know, it's the lowest scoring offense through 11 games in since the 2000 Browns. I mean, the thing, you just kind of look up every week and it's like, okay, yeah, they had only one touchdown again, so they're still on this. So they're basically still on this pace that has them, you know, on track to be the least effective offense in generating touchdowns in franchise history. I mean, it's you're just kind of waiting for a moment where they kind of get off this tepid pace in terms of production, and it just isn't happening. And now you're coming up here against the Ravens, who certainly are going to be on point after getting shredded by the Jacksonville Jaguars last Sunday. So, I mean, that's just where they are.
So it's not exactly breaking news to all of us here, the idea that Aaron Rodgers was the Broncos' choice all along, right down to hiring Nathaniel Hackett as incentive to woo Aaron Rodgers to want to come here, to ask out, demand out of Green Bay. But with it out there yesterday via ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, what was your reaction to it?
I mean, same as you guys. I mean, it really wasn't a surprise. It really wasn't. It wasn't a secret. I mean, the kind of the pithy thing I said in the off season, just, you know, kind of putting two and two together, and from what I gathered was, you know, plan A was Aaron. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that. You couldn't blame them for having plan A, B for Aaron Rodgers after coming off of back to back MVPs and the discontent he appeared to have at that moment. And then it was, you know, it just, you get Russell Wilson, great. I mean, that's a quick little that's a quick pivot that they were able to make. But it really wasn't news. Now, the thing that is worth discussing is, okay, how much of the possibility of Aaron Rodgers governed the choice of Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, I think it's one of those things where, was it a factor somewhere down the list? It possibly was, but at the same time, Nathaniel Hackett also fit in the old trend of NFL coach hirings, which is hire the opposite of what you just had. You had a coach in Vic Fangio who was a defensive-minded coach who had trouble kind of connecting with the players on an individual level, and you replace him with an offensive coach who specializes at kind of making those individual connections with players. So, you know, it's one of those things where, as Zach Bye would say, two things can be true at the same time.
So, in regards to the Broncos this weekend, we did a little project here on Telestrator Tuesday about what went down in, you know, Carolina versus what went down week one in Seattle. And these two offenses look nothing alike. And, you know, they've gone from multiple tight ends, fullback, you know, 22 personnel, two tight ends, two backs, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, you know, two tight ends, one back, and all that kind of heavy, you know, play action, wide zone, boot keep game, to basically being a three wides shotgun offense. So I would ask you, like, to the best of your knowledge, why the change? And obviously it's not been successful at all. So, I mean, you could make an argument the best offense, the best it's looked, because it should have been 30 points without those two fumbles on the goal line, was Seattle. Why the dramatic change? Why are we in this position? Why is this offense not look like it did at the start of the season?
It's a good question, because, frankly, the personnel that you've got left in the wake of various injuries would dictate that you do want to go with 22 personnel, that you do want to emphasize the tight ends, because your receiving core has been so decimated, and yet your tight end core is actually healthier than it was at the start of the season. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always working well when they go with two and three tight end packages. I mean, you look for instance, at a third and three that they had on Sunday in Carolina, and you've got, and you had a three tight end package there. You had Dulcich on the left side, and then you had Saubert and Tomlinson on the right side, and you've got, and in both cases, you've got the Panthers crashing in off those edges against those tight ends, and it's almost like there were enough moments that it didn't work when they went with the heavy personnel that Nathaniel Hackett, who, you know, he emphasized plenty of three wide sets in Green Bay. That's almost like they said, all right, well, this doesn't work. We're going to go back to the three wide. But at the same time, if that's the reasoning for it, would kind of be a little bit short-sighted, because one thing that you know, if you're getting the running game going, and if you're going with heavier personnel, what you're counting on is grinding down an opponent. You're playing the long game. You're trying to make them exhausted by the fourth quarter, and have some of those jabs become haymakers, especially in the ground game. I mean, at this point, your personnel that you've got left, if you want to have your best 11 on the field, given how much you've lost at wide receiver and given what you have at tight end, because you did pick up Greg Dulcich in October, to me it screams that you should be going 22 personnel, and it should be going two tight end. You should be using Andrew Beck as a fullback from time to time, even though now he's got a hamstring issue and he hasn't practiced all week. And then, oh, by the way, you should probably be going shotgun less than you would, but it's almost like what you see in the play calling and the formation use is that there maybe was a little bit of an overreaction to things that weren't necessarily at the foot of the play calling and the formation use. That, okay, you had 16 points in week one, yeah, but like you said, Stink, you should have had 30. I mean, it was two fumbles at the goal line. You're moving the ball very well for most of the game. To me, that would have screamed, okay, let's stick with this, because we're probably not going to have these giveaways every week if we keep doing what we're doing.
By the way, guys, real quick, just pass along Catherine Terrell, who is with ESPN, and before that was with The Athletic, has covered the Saints for a long time, just tweeted out that she just texted Drew Brees, said he's good, and that he did not get struck by lightning.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, yes. Why the betting company that he's working with has not gotten that information out makes me kind of curious. I'm sure they have been in touch. What, are they trying to milk a little bit more attention from all of this before they announce that he's all good?
I mean, I think it's a marketing ploy. Hey, you bet with us, it'll be like getting struck by lightning.
Oh, man, you just are, I mean, whether it's that or you're Deshaun Watson,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Man, hell.
Okay.
Thank you, Mace.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Mace. The great Mark Schlereff.
No problem, fellas.
Andrew Mason.
What a great marketing ploy, right?
Senior Bronco writer.
You too could make it big. Strike lightning with bet whatever.
Jeez. See, I always tell people, Friday, this is around the time where Mark gets a little punchy. It's some of the best radio of the week. Yeah. Our thanks to Andrew Mason, as he is brought to us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. It is an Is It Just Me Friday. The best of the Is It Just Me's next.
You're going to need a bigger punch.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Fine, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big, 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 huge.
Yeah, I forgot to mention this throughout the course of the show, Mark, because it got brought up right at the start of the show. But we have had some of these trickling in throughout the course of the day, and I thought I'd read one on this Is It Just Me Friday. Is it just me, or I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to Mark. He was right about Aaron Rodgers all along. See, this is what we appreciate from you listeners. Oh, wow. You know,
that's very
willing to admit your mistakes.
Yeah, well,
and your frailties.
It's okay. Liz, you don't have to apologize to me, but I appreciate it. I do. I really do. Because I get enough grief on the old Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I don't need any apologies. I was the first to admit, hey, it didn't work out. So, sorry about it.
But there was a reason why the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers was always plan A. Mm-hmm. And it started with your report. Excellent reporting. Right. Breaking stories.
Thank you. Breaking
that night. that draft night when you said, hey, and you never said, by the way, it is done.
No, I said it's close to being a done deal,
yeah.
But it could, and I did preface it by saying it still could fall through, but it's like it's legit, like it's they're working on it, even though, you know, all the reports are we haven't had official. Yeah, I don't even know what official conversations, what that means. Like not GM to GM, but my underling talked to your underling through, you know. I mean, it was like when remember AJ Smith and Marty Schottenheimer when Marty was with the Chargers and the two of them didn't talk and they had a courier that ran back and forth with notes. Like you knew that happened, right?
Yeah, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Marty Smith, or excuse me, Marty Schottenheimer and AJ Smith. You know, AJ Smith was the general manager and Schottenheimer was the coach, and they refused to speak to one another. So they had like some little intern that ran back and forth with Post-it notes back and forth. Like, can you imagine?
Come on,
that level of
grow
dysfunction.
Up. Yeah,
right. I mean, come on.
So after meeting with Aaron yesterday,
yes.
Do you think it would have worked out here? Because you look at where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't played well. The team's 4-8. People have been questioning just how much he's really even into football and wants to continue to play, or does he have a bunch of other interests in life that he'd like to explore? He was on record this week as saying, hey, yeah, if we fall out of playoff contention, I'd keep an open mind. I think he was, quote, open mind to the idea of shutting it down for the rest of the season. You and I, the other day, speculated. We were talking about where could Tom Brady be next year. Hey, where could Aaron Rodgers be next year? So after talking to him yesterday, did as frustrated as we are with Russell Wilson right now, he just turned 34. There is time for him to turn his career around. Rodgers is close to hitting 40.
He turned 39 today.
Turned 39 today. Okay.
Today is his birthday.
That's close to 40. He's 39 today. Yeah. Did the Broncos, did they dodge one by not having Aaron Rodgers come here?
No, I think it would have been worked out better than Russell's worked out to this point. I mean,
you're sure about that? Now, let's say we had had, and I'm going to assume everything that has happened with the injuries still happens.
Okay.
We've seen Aaron this year with a bunch of new receivers, and it hasn't worked well at all. And he's worn his emotions on his sleeve when it comes to dealing with these. How do you think he'd be dealing with Cortland Sutton, Kendall Hinton, Jalen Virgil, Brandon Johnson?
It's an interesting question. I mean, one thing about Aaron is like he is brutally honest. Like when you talk to him in meetings, you say, "Hey, man, Christian Watson, the development. You know how excited you are about that," and he'll get into what was going on at the beginning, like where he was as a player, and how, you know, his confidence has grown. Really, since the catch week 10 against Dallas, the over the shoulder catch, which was identical to the first play of the season that he dropped. That goes back to week 1 Minnesota, the very first play of the season. He dropped that, and the work ethic and all those things that had to increase, and he'll tell you, but he just didn't work hard enough early, you know? I mean, he'll go through a litany of things. He's very honest with that stuff. So I have a feeling that there would be a hell of a lot more accountability because Rodgers will let you know what he thinks. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. It's not like, hey, everything's great, everybody's awesome, everybody is. No, he lets his players know. And so that part would definitely be different, Mike. If that be like, there would be a difference there. Like if Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy is not running the route the way he wants that route run, it's not, hey, it's okay, guys, we'll get to get. No, it's, you're going to get your ass chewed by Aaron, just very much like Peyton Manning was here.
Right, right.
And he, I mean, he pulls no punches. I mean, he like flat out told me in a production, the production meeting yesterday, you know, and it's okay because this is, you know, this is a production meeting for, you know, for, it's not
the broadcast, the, right. It's on the record.
The broadcast, yeah. Right. He's just like, hey, man, like Jordan Love has embraced the look squad and working on things in the look squad, you know, arm angles and looking people off and doing things that he truly wasn't doing early in his career. And that's why right now he's more apt to be, you know, more apt to be a better player, because those are the things you have to do. He goes, man, I looked at it when I was backing up Favre as an opportunity to hone my skills, and if I can cut our defense up in the look squad, like that's my competition for the week, you know, and like that's how you get better. It's what Rod Smith did. The reason that Mike Shanahan was okay with going away from Anthony Miller, who was a Pro Bowl receiver, and going to Rod Smith is because Rod Smith was tearing up our defense in look squad. I mean, tearing it up. And Mike was like, dude, this guy's busting his hump. This guy is working us, and he needs to get on the football field.
Coming up, we will have our injury report, always a highlight of the week, as well as our predictions. And it's a rough time right now for Bronco fans and those who are hoping that Russell Wilson will work out. So we've got something planned for you that's guaranteed to put a smile back on your face, and we'll do that next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Here we go. The following players did not practice and right now seem to be trending towards being out. Dakota Allen with a hamstring, Andrew Beck hamstring, KJ Hamler hamstring, Jonathan Harris knee, Jerry Jeudy ankle. Now, the following players: Draymond Jones, illness.
Limited.
Dalton Risner, shoulder.
Limited.
Kaywan Williams, wrist, elbow, and knee.
Limited.
Kendall Hinton. Actually, no. That's it. That's it for the limited guys. Kendall Hinton coming back from a footsie injury.
Unlimited.
Mm-hmm. Kareem Jackson just getting a maintenance day.
Unlimited.
And Jalen Virgil coming back from a hip.
Unlimited.
So the Broncos injuries not
right.
Not too long.
Yeah. Hey Johnny, what's our offense though? What's our offense right now?
Super duper bad.
that's true, but is
limited.
It's limited. Yes, limited. Okay. What's the offense again?
Limited.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, our offense is very
limited.
Oh, not good.
Your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit zoomcare.com to learn more about their health beyond better urgent and primary care health clinics in Denver and Boulder today. So, yeah. Some more Is It Just Me's before we get to our fearless predictions. Let's see. Let's get to a couple here. Let's see. Is it just me, or are the Avalanche starting to look like they're entering the bored part of the schedule? Yeah, I think that's fair.
I don't know that they're. I don't know that they're. It's necessarily bored as much as it is. You just kind of got to get through. But how long? Like, I always look at it from a football season perspective. You know, the first five or six games, you're really excited. And then the middle of the section until you get through, you know, kind of Thanksgiving is like, let's get through these things and let's play our, you know, as good as we can. And then let's set ourselves up for the stretch, you know, where you get excited. You see light at the end of the tunnel and you see playoff abound. And you're like, like, how does that break down in a hockey season that's so long?
Oh, boy. I think you get, maybe not yet, although for a defending Stanley Cup champ, I think the dog days hit you a little bit earlier than it hits other teams. I think typically for other teams, you get into January and February, it's like, oh my God, is this thing ever going to, especially if you know that you're going to be a playoff team. Then it's like, uh-huh. Oh my God, when is this thing going to end? We got to go, oh my God, we're going to Edmonton, Winnipeg, mm-hmm. and Calgary. Ugh. Right? You know, that kind of thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing with the Avs, again, bad performance the other night. Last night they bounced back and kind of a struggle with a bad ball. Here's what I'd watch for. Here's what I'd watch for. They play at Boston tomorrow, and the Bruins are the best team in hockey. They're like 19-3. They've set a new record, NHL record, for most wins to start off a season at home. And if the idea is that the Avs are playing up and down to their competition and that there'll be these moments during the season where they'll show us and remind us, there they are, they're the Stanley Cup champs, I think it'll be games like this. It's like when they went into the Rangers game a few weeks ago and we talked about, playoff atmosphere, electrically charged, and they played a terrific game. Let's see how they play tomorrow night. I think they'll give us a good sense of where their heads are at.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Thank you.
Time now for our fearless predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Hey, woman! Our Broncos pick is presented by King Soopers, official grocer of the Denver Broncos.
I don't know why that makes me laugh.
So what do you got?
What do I listen?
Broncos, Ravens.
Broncos, Ravens. You've got an offense that... that hasn't been able to produce anything, rolling into an organization that's got a lot of pride, that's really upset about where they stand right now, based upon they've had a couple games, three games or so in the bag, where they've given up leads. John Harbaugh's got a good football team. He's a hell of a football coach. They're going to wash this taste out of their mouth against the Broncos. I think this is going to be a blowout, Mike. I think it's 27-3 late. Maybe they give up a...
Oh, you stole my score. You stole my score, yes.
Did I?
I was going 27-10.
Yeah, and then they give up a late touchdown.
I know, you're going 27-10. Now I got to come up with a different score.
Okay. You want me to go different?
No. I asked you to go first. So there you go. You're the guest.
You're the host.
You're the host. So.
You're the host. I'm just a guy.
You're just a guy running around on the show.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's kind of where I feel like this team is slotted.
Because here's the problem. The offense is the offense. It's broken. It's broken beyond repair.
Yes.
It's not going to get better. Although it is December. This is going to be their first game in December.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Do you want to change your pick?
Yes. Broncos 100, Ravens nothing.
A long December, and there's reason to
No, I'm not going to be actually going.
You sure? This is what we're promised way back in August.
Yeah, when December rolls around, trust me.
Trust me. He said, trust me.
Trust me. When December rolls around, we're going to be good to go.
Right. So now it's December.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is thinking this is the big takeoff moment.
Could be, man.
No.
It could be.
No, it's not.
It could be.
No.
I agree.
Cue the Bud Black.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. A lot of times. No.
Tonight. No.
No.
A lot of times. W. Tonight it didn't happen.
Tonight it didn't happen.
So, December. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Broncos, for the first time this year, get blown out. I'm going to go with, let's see, you going 27-10. The defense is just, they're spent.
They're
spent.
How can you not be spent?
They're spent. And Baltimore's a good team. They're a proud team. They blew one last week. They're going to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Broncos lose. I'm going to go 30-13.
13 points. That's big for us.
A lot of garbage time.
Huge.
A lot of garbage time points.
All right.
A lot of points de garbage. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Again, your Broncos pick presented by King Soopers, official grocer of the Denver Broncos. You have Packers and Bears in Chicago. Yeah, and
by the way, it looks as though we're going to get Rodgers versus Fields.
Oh, it looks like he's going to play, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a full participant in practice yesterday.
Oh, well, then he's playing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going out there. I'm going out there as soon as we get off here, and I'm gonna roll over to the Bears facility, which is a long ways away from where we're staying. So
you want to remind people where you're staying, by the way?
Oh, I'm staying in the Viagra Triangle. Yes.
And apparently, right? Folks, all right. Folks, this is a thing because we had some people who are familiar with Chicago. Supported this. So why is it called the Viagra Triangle?
I think it used to be called the Golden Triangle. It's a beautiful area of town. Lots of, it's a very ritzy, there are $20 million townhouses littered across this area of Chicago. It's just gorgeous. Can you imagine $20 million on a townhouse? But whatever. Some people have it like that. I don't. You don't. But, yeah, it's okay. But anyhow, long story short is, this is the area where, I'm 60-year-old divorced guys that are, hedge fund managers marry 30-year-old ladies, apparently. So
the Viagra Triangle.
I think that's the whole theme behind it.
So look, it's been another rough week of breaking down what's wrong with the Broncos. We had birthday party gate. We've got the Broncos settled for Russell Wilson because they couldn't get Aaron Rodgers. So there's all that downer news out there. So we just wanted to remind you, okay? We wanted to remind you, Russell Wilson is your quarterback. He's got a bright, optimistic view on everything, and he's confident it's all going to work out. So let's take a page from Russ as we wrap up this week.
Everything is awesome.
Yes.
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 Cool. Come on, turn it up.
It could be. It could be worse. Not exactly sure.
No. I don't really know how, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure that it could be worse.
Really? Leave that up a little bit. We gotta get people smiling. We gotta get people tapping their foot as they drive and bouncing their head and... It's all right. It's going to work out.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right. Mark, have a great call. We'll see you on Monday morning bright and early.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy. We got the Players Club coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.